May 14th, 2018. We're on the Mishnah and Daf Teta Mudbet, three lines from the bottom. En ben shilo liYerushalayim, ela shebeshilo ochlin kadashim kalim u'ma'aser sheni b'chol haro'eh, u'biYerushalayim lifnim min ha'choma. So the Mishnah is talking about the difference between the Bet HaMikdash, which of course was in Yerushalayim, and the Mishkan, called Mishkan Shiloh, which stood for a little bit under 370 years. After Kibush Haaretz, after we moved into Eretz Yisrael and we conquered it for 14 years, for 369 years there was this Mishkan which was in Shiloh. And when this Mishkan was in Shiloh, of course this is prior to Binyan Beit HaMikdash, you weren't allowed to be makriv on bamot, which meant that all korbanot needed to come to the to this Mishkan in Shiloh. So were there any halachic differences between this Mishkan Shiloh and Yerushalayim? Says the Mishnah, En ben Shiloh le Yerushalayim, Ela, the only difference between them was, Shebeshiloh ochlim kadashim kalim u'ma'asir sheni b'chol haro'eh. In Shiloh, of course, there are different statuses of different korbanot. There's kadashim kalim and there's kodesh kodashim. Kodesh kodashim, asham and hatat. Kadashim kalim, korban todah, bechor. So in this circumstance, says the Mishnah, says when we're doing kadashim kalim, those lower rung status, severity and halachot. So those and ma'aser sheni, when it was Mishkan Shiloh, ma'aser sheni of course means that on years 1, 2, 4, 5 in the Shemitah process, you had to take a tenth of your produce and bring it up to Yerushalayim and eat it there. In the time of Mishkan Shiloh, you could eat it, these matters, bechol haro'eh. Any place that overlooked that you could see from there, the Mishkan. Ubirushalayim, but in Yerushalayim, you couldn't eat it just in seeing the place. Lifnim and Achoma, you had to actually come through the gates of Yerushalayim. That was a status of difference between the two. Vikan, vikan, but in both of them, Kodesh Kodashim nechalim lifnim and akalaim. You needed to eat Kodesh Kodashim, of course, the Hatat and Hashem and those sorts of korbanot, lifnim and akalaim, which meant kelaim refers to the fabric entrance, but really it means when you would need to enter the gates of the Mishkan or the Mikdash in order to have Kodesh Kodashim, continues the Mishnah. Shiloh yesh aharei heter, uktushat Yerushalayim en aharei heter. Excuse me, kdushat Shiloh yesh aharei heter. So the difference over here is between whether the Kiddusha, the sanctity of that place, did it carry through afterward or not. When we're dealing with Mishkan Shiloh, we say it didn't follow through afterwards. In other words, once the Mishkan Shiloh is gone, then, technically speaking, without a Mikdash, you'd be able to be makriv on bamot in any place anyway. Whereas Yerushalayim, no, the statement is that Kiddusha stayed in that place, and as such, if you wanted to be Makriv Korbanot, you wouldn't be able to do so without that actual place, because the Kiddusha did not leave any heter for Hakrava, for sacrifice at all. So that's really that last part of the Mishnah is going to be what the Gemara picks up on. The statement that Kiddushat Yerushalayim, or Kiddushat HaMikdash rather, left after it no heter. So it starts the Gemara. Amar Bitzhak, Shema'ati shemakrivim bevet honyo bizman hazeh. The statement of Bitzhak, he says, even in his time period, he's an Emora, he says, in this place called Bet Honyo, which traditionally is from the son of Shimon HaSadiq. Shimon HaSadiq is the third Mishnah Masechet Avot. He was from the end of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. His son's name was Honyo. There's machloket elsewhere in Masechet Zevachim, I think, about whether this Bet Honyo, this temple, this sacrificial area which he built in some place, whether it was La'avodah Zarah or whether it was good sacrifices. But anyway, the statement, we'll see about that in just a second, the Gemara, the statement of Bitzhak says, even in our time, they makrivim bet honyo. Kasavar, well, he seems to be of the opinion, A, bet honyo lav bet avodah zarah. Bet honyo, it's okay to sacrifice there. It's not for idol worship. Vekasavar, more importantly, for our issue, kedusha rishona kedusha lesha'ata velo kedusha le'atid lavo. The initial kedusha of makom hamikdash, well, it was there for its initial stage. But once you had Chorban HaBayit, lo kedusha le'atid lavo. Of course, this stands in stark contrast to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said at the end, Kiddushat Yerushalayim en aharei heter. There's no heter. You're not able to go out, branch out, and be makriv in different places. The Kiddusha is embedded in that place, and you won't be able to get it anywhere else. Whereas this statement is, even in Bet Honyo. Okay, continues the Gemara. How would you be able to deduce that the Kiddusha of the Mikdash, like Rabbi Yitzhak, is lo kiddusha le'atid lavo. In other words, it could be transplanted elsewhere. Dichtiv, it's a asmachta from the pasuk. Kilo batim ad'ata ila menuchav ila nahalas. Pasuk in Sefer Devarim, which refers to Eretz Yisrael, and refers to two places, Menucha and Nahala. And the Derashah of the Chachamim is Menucha zo Shilo, Nahala zo Yerushalayim. So the Pasuk refers to, in one sentence, in one breath, both Yerushalayim, and it was Mikdash in Yerushalayim, and Mishkan Shilo, Makish Nahala le Menucha. There's a Hekesh, the Pasuk places these two places, and in turn the laws, right next to one another in the same pasuk, to teach us the following halakha. Ma menucha yesh acharei ha'hetev. The same way everyone agrees, it's Pesukim in Navi, that after Mishkan Shiloh there was heter. In other words, it was mutar, it was permitted to sacrifice in other places. Af nahala yesh acharei ha'hetev. So too, when it comes to the Mikdash, which they're seeing in that word nahala, yesh acharei ha'hetev, unlike our Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Amru le, the rabbis at the time responded to Rabbi Yitzhak and said to him, Amarta, did you really make the statement? Did you really say that you heard and it's okay, it's permitted to sacrifice in Beit Honyo? Amar lehu lo. He says, no, I never said such a thing. Amar Rava, ha Elohim, Amara? Rava exclaims when he says ha Elohim, it's an expression of a swear. It's like, I swear he said it. The Gamirna lemine. And I learned it from him, Milashon Gemara. I learned it. I heard him say this. He certainly said Makrivin in Bet Honyo Bizman Hazeh. But wait a second. So what happened? How come now when they asked Rabbi Yitzhak, did you say it? He said, no, Umay Ta'ama Kahadarbe. He says, but why is it? My Ta'ama, what's the reason? Kahadarbe, he retracted it. In other words, Rava now is interpreting that Rabbi Yitzhak really said this. He said Makrivim Bet Honyo, but then he retracted it. Why would he retract it? Well, obviously he would retract it because he learned our Mishnah. And our Mishnah was clear that Kedushat Yerushalayim en acharei ha'heter. You can't transplant the Makom HaKedusha. Mishum Kashya Derav Meiri. The reason, says Rava, that Rabbi Yitzhak retracted was because of the question of Rav Meiri, the motive Rav Meiri, because Rav Meiri asked the following question, quote unquote, from our Mishnah, Kedushat Shilo Yesh Acharei Heter, Ukedushat Yerushalayim Ein Acharei Heter. That's our Mishnah. Furthermore, there's another Mishnah which seems to prove this. Ve'od Tenan, another Mishnah says, Mishibau the Yerushalayim, in the time of building Mikdash, Ne'esru HaBamot, Ve'lo Haya Lahem Od Heter. Once they built the Mikdash, there was Isur on the Bamot, and there was no longer any Heter. V'hayit ale Nahala, and that Mikdash was Nahala, which did not permit after Korbanot. So it seems clear, says the Gemara, in any other place, it seems clear, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yitzhak's testimony or his understanding of Halakha was wrong. It's contradicted by two Mishnayot. Now what the Gemara will now do in the ensuing time, in the ensuing space on this page, is to try to say, well, Rabbi Yitzhak really had something to hang his hat on. It's really a Mahloket Tanaim. There's two opinions. You have our Mishnah, and you have that Mishnah that the Gemara just quoted, but there are other opinions out there, and you have to delve into those other opinions and understand that there are actually two different approaches to this matter about whether the Kedushat HaMikdash is Kedusha L'Sha'ata U'Le'atid Lavo, which means to say it's for eternity in that place, and you can't transplant it elsewhere, or if it was L'Sha'ata for its time when the Mikdash was up, and not Le'atid Lavo. When all the dust settles on this matter, it'll be left a mahloket. And the poskim until today debate that issue. You have mahloket between Harambam and Ravad and others. And there's lots of fundamental issues because the question is Makom HaMikdash, Harabai today, does it have that sanctity? Does it have that status even today? In other words, was it Kedisha L'Sha'ata U'Le'atid Lavo? Or did it evaporate in a sense? Which, of course, will touch on issues of A, Korbanot today. In other words, where would you, in a hypothetical, even a practical sense, be able to sacrifice or not be able to sacrifice? Could you visit Harabai and all those sorts of matters, which we'll hopefully have opportunity to talk about at least briefly. Says the Gemara, now Tana'ehi. In fact, this is a Mahloka Tanaim, as I said earlier, about whether Kedusha Rishona Kedusha L'Sha'ata V'Le'atid, like our Mishnah, or Kedusha L'Sha'ata V'Lo Le'atid, and it evaporated after its destruction of the Mikdash, like Rabbi Yitzhak. Ditnan, the Mishnah says elsewhere, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shema'ati. Rabbi Eliezer testifies, this is what I heard. Keshayu bonim b'hichal, osim kelaim l'hichal, uklaim la'azara. El shebahichal, bonim mibachut, u'ba'azara, bonim mibifnim. So it says Rabbi Eliezer, so two several concepts over here. First of all, kelaim. We said earlier, kelaim means the fabric that was woven to act as a doorway or as an adornment to the walls. Okay, so that's what kela'im means. We'll discuss that in just a second. Secondly, there were several places in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, there was the inner area, which was known as the Hechal. In the Hechal, you would have the Lechem HaPanim, where you had the bread, you had the Lechem HaPanim, You had the menorah in there, and you had the mizbah ha'ola. That's where that would all be. Excuse me, the mizbah ha'olah was not in there. So you'd have the menorah, and you'd have the lechem ha'panim. That you would have in the hechal. Outside of the hechal, you'd have the azara. This azara is where you had the mizbah ha'olah. Outside of the Azara, you had the Izrat Nashim, which were all sorts of other matters. But so you had these three separate areas. Now, there were walls that separated these areas. Now, when they constructed those walls, says Rabbi Eliezer, I heard, this is how they constructed them. I heard that for the Hechal, they made Kela'im. They initially put up this fabric to separate. And then they were bonimi bahuts, and then they would put, then they built the wall upon construction on the outer area. Well, it's an outer area from the kilarim uba azara, and in the outer area, and it was the next area outside of the hekal, bonimi bifnim. They put up the fabric as well, and then they built the wall inwardly. Because that was just a question in terms of specific construction. Now, why would this be mentioned in this Mishnah? Right now, we're not certain. But we need to see the next opinion. Ve'amar b'Yoshua, and b'Yoshua says, I heard something else. Shemakriv, mashamati, I heard. Shemakrivim afapi she'in bait. I heard that you're able to be makriv korbanot even without Bet HaMikdash. Ochlin kodshe kodashim afapi she'in kila'im. Even without the entrance area to the Mikdash, you're allowed to eat kodshe kodashim. Kadashim kalim ma'asya she'ni afapi she'in choma. And you're able to have these other matters even without Chomat Yerushalayim. So let's start backwards, says the Gemara. Let's start with the second opinion. The opinion of Rabbi Yoshua makes it clear that his reason is predicated upon this Kiddushah Rishonah, Kiddushah Sha'ata Ule'atid Levo. So the sanctity of the Mikdash in Yerushalayim is for eternity, which means to say he says that you could bring him Korban even today, without the Mikdash. But where? Only in Makom Mikdash. He says you can eat Ma'aseh Sheni in Yerushalayim, even without the walls. But where? In Yerushalayim. And so his statement is that the sanctity is stuck there and can't be moved. The Gemara understands, well, the first opinion of Bili Ezer must be disagreeing with him on that. And Bili Ezer's statement, therefore, of building the Mikdash in such a fashion and describing where the fabric was, where the Kela'im were, well, what's he trying to teach us? The Gemara understands right now that what he's trying to teach us is that while they were constructing, before they put up those walls, they wanted to establish this place as a Mikdash place. In other words, it didn't have a sanctity in and of itself. They needed to put up that fabric in order to establish the sanctity. In order to get the Kiddushah to this Makom HaMikdash, it wasn't just there, because Kiddushah Rishonah lo Kiddushah le'atid levo. The only way you could bring it back is by putting something up, and it takes a long time to build walls. So if they wanted to start being Makriv Korbanot, they put up the Kela'im initially. And where'd they put it, inside or outside? So that's his specific description. But again, just to read it inside, the Gemara right now is suggesting that this is the Mahlok between Bili Ezer and Bi'oshua. Amar Bili Ezer, Shema'ati, I heard, Kishayu bonim b'hechal, osim Kela'im la'hechal u'kela'im la'azara. I heard that they would put up, they did put up those fabrics even before building the walls. Elash b'hechal bonim b'chut. In the hechal, in that inner area, they put up the wall outwardly. Uba azara bonim mivnim. In the azara, they put up the wall inwardly. But when it comes down to it, the reason they had those kelaim, the Gemara understands, because kedusha rishona kedusha leshata velo leatid levo. And therefore, in order to be makriv in that area, in the interim, you need to have something up. However, Yoshua jumps in. He says, no, 1 second. You were able to, for eternity, makriv in that makom, even without walls up. But only in that makom. It couldn't be transplanted elsewhere. And what's his reasoning? Says the Gemara, as we just spoke out, Miklal, we can deduce from this that Rabbi Eliezer said, lo kiddusha le'atid lavo. Rabbi Eliezer, the first opinion, is disagreeing with Rabbi Yoshua. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer, our first opinion, is just telling us a detail. It's just telling us a fact. Everyone agrees, Kiddushah Rishonah, Kiddushah Lesha'atah, Vele'atid Lavo. Just like our Mishnah said. Yet the sanctity, the Makom Kiddushah, is there and cannot go anywhere else. Once you built the Mikdash, unlike Mishkan Shiloh, you can't transplant that Kiddushah. So what's Rabbi Yoshua? He's just telling me facts about walls, about the fabrics and walls. Okay, well, let's get there. It says, Amar le Ravina le Ravashe, Mimai. Mimai means, who told you this is good proof? Dilma, maybe the kule alma, both Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer agree, kiddusha rishona, kiddusha lesha'ata, ve'kiddusha le'atid lavo. Everyone agrees to that statement, which is explicit in the second opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. But what's got more? May dishmi aleka amar. Umor, may dishmi aleka amar. And each one of these rabbis, as we refer to as more, whatever they heard, may dishmi ale, mashehu shama, kamar, that's what he stated. Wait a second, if that's the case, what's the first statement? The first statement, Bili Ezer, is just a historical statement, so why is he telling me about those kelayim? What was the purpose of those kelayim? If you told me the reason for that fabric wall is so that you could bring korbanot because kiddush ha-rishona lo kiddush ha-le'atid, I understand. But otherwise, why are you teaching that, says the Gemara, if that's the case, b'chitema. And if you're to tell me this is kelayim l'Bili Ezer la'amali, so why'd they put up those fabric walls at all? Answers the Gemara, listening utabe alma, the whole purpose of them was just in order to separate, just in order to segregate each one of the areas as separate, for tzniut, for separation. So in other words, when the Gemara settles all the dust, we're still stuck putting everything back into perspective. We had our Mishnah. The last part of the Mishnah distinguished between Mishkan Shiloh and the Mikdash. It's a Mishkan Shiloh, the Kiddushah, which was initially there, evaporated afterwards. And therefore, you were able to be Makrivam Bamot in all sorts of places. Yerushalayim, Mikdash, was not that way. Mikdash is Harev, it's destroyed, you can't do it anywhere you like. Makom Kiddusha maintained its Kiddusha. Says Gemara, but Rabbi Yitzhak seems to disagree with that. Shama'ati shemakvim bevet honyo af bizman hazeh. Says Gemara, well, how could that be? Oh, Rabbi Yitzhak retracted. Says Gemara, but there's really two opinions on this matter, and it attempts to do so from Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Eliezer, who talks about the fabric walls they put up, the assumption is because Kiddusha Rishona, lo Kiddusha le'atid lavo, in order to bring korbanot, you needed to construct something to bring the sanctity. Rabbi Yehoshua says, makrivim, af she'en bayit, but only in that place. Ma'aseh she'ni, af she'en choma, but only in Yerushalayim. That's Kiddusha Rishona, Kiddusha le'sha'ata, le'atid lavo as well. Says Gemara, no, even Rabbi Eliezer, the first opinion, he agrees Kiddusha le'atid lavo. So then why is he talking about these fabrics? What's the purpose of those fabrics? Answers the Gemara, it's just litzniut. It was just so that they would have separate places. But technically speaking, if you wanted to be makriv, you wanted to be sacrificing during that time period, even without any kila'im, you could have, because Kiddusha Rishona, Kiddusha le'sha'ata, ule'atid lavo. So when everything ends right now, we still, until we see the Gemara for tomorrow, we still haven't established a real opinion that we can say with certainty maintains that Kiddusha Rishona Kiddusha Lesha'ata Velo Le'atid Lavo when we're talking about Mikdash B'Yerushalayim. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.